So now what do we do? Pray and be assured that God sets up kings and takes them down. He always operates with a plan.
It is enough that the people know there was an election. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. That's exactly what happened, and that was by Joseph Stalin. This has been the marching orders of the left for a long, long time.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries, Radio for the Remnant. Today we feature two guests who, along with Jen Markell, review our 2020 election. First is Pastor Barry Stagner from Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. Jen is then joined by correspondent Bill Koenig, who has kept his eye on Washington from our nation's capital for over 20 years. Is the freest nation on earth heading rapidly into socialism, or can this tide be turned? Does our recent election and its fallout speed up the last day's timetable? Here is today's programming.
James O'Keefe, he's a friend of mine. He does undercover camera work. But just in one county, by one person in Texas, watch the video. You'll see a lady said, I have 5,000 votes, and she was selling them. And she'd been doing this for many election cycles. She said, I have the Chief Justice of our Supreme Court in Texas in my back pocket, and on and on. And that's real thing on hidden camera, real people talking. And all she wanted from him is $72,000 cash, and she would give him 5,000 votes. And it's unfortunate when our electoral system is for sale to the highest bidder, but it is. And the George Soroses and the hundreds of people like him are happy to funnel the money to those people to buy the votes to get the outcome that they want.
Ian, I'm so glad you can join me for the hour. We live in interesting times. Those were a couple of clips you heard a second ago from Curtis Bowers. He's, of course, producer of the incredible DVD series Agenda. Hopefully I'll get Curtis on air here in the coming weeks so we can talk about his insights to the election. So let me make some opening comments here before I move into featuring a couple of guests, because I didn't comment about our 2020 election last week. Things were so up in the air. In a sense, they still are, though we apparently have a president-elect Biden. Let me open this segment with some comments here. The alarm was sounded, obviously, for months, certainly since the outbreak of COVID-19, that the pandemic would lead to massive mail-in voting that would then lead to voter fraud in our 2020 election, as was the case. And I even did a segment, this would have been here on Understanding the Times Radio with Michelle Bachman, 4 or 5 weeks ago, revealing that my neck of the woods, Twin Cities, was one of the hubs of voter fraud, and that would be thanks to the antics of Representative Ilhan Omar, who was reelected in spite of her ties to everything anti-American, anti-police rhetoric, etc. But if we are going to return to a leftist agenda in our White House, and I don't know that we know that yet because of recount and because of appeals to courts and higher courts, still we need to mentally and spiritually prepare ourselves. And I can tell you right now, as we speak, Hamas is rejoicing in the apparent result of the election of November 3rd. Iran is ecstatic and likely planning war with Israel. China is celebrating. Russia is celebrating. They will now have puppets in the White House doing their bidding. The Iran nuclear deal is back on the table. This certainly will lead to, quite frankly, the Battle of Armageddon, because it's going to lead to a Middle East war sooner rather than later, this reinstallment of the worst foreign policy deal probably in the history of humanity, and then giving Iran $150 billion by Barack Obama some years ago now. For those of you in the church, working with and for the church, and counting on the church, if you thought you've been under attack for the last 9 months, you haven't seen anything yet, and I'll reference the Equality Act in a minute. If you love the Green New Deal, socialized medicine, wide open borders, those are all on the horizon. Hang on to your weapons, folks. If you are able, Beto O'Rourke is going to be at your front door wanting every one of your weapons. The attack against the Second Amendment is going to be relentless. We've had a law and order president. If things proceed as they appear, we hope it can change, but if they proceed, we will have lawlessness, anti-police, pro-criminal type administration. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that we may be morphing from a constitutional republic If I could be blunt, to a banana republic, if we aren't careful. And I think what breaks our hearts is when we see evil win and when we see the guilty not prosecuted. When corruption is successful, it crushes the spirit. But remember again the words of Psalm 2. I'm going to be quoting that verse so many times, that God sits in the heavens and laughs at evil. He has a plan. It's an end of the age plan. It's in the works. And every week here on Understanding the Times Radio, I try to explain how it's all falling into place. Bottom line, we are racing towards the tribulation from which the church is absent. That is the good news. But we don't know how much the church is going to go through before God calls us home. In today's programming, I want to take a look at the role the church played here in the election back on November the 3rd. I'm going to have a brief discussion here with Pastor Barry Stegner, and I want to zero in for a few minutes on the so-called evangelical left and their role in the 2020 election. Men like John Piper and others, the Gospel Coalition, Russell Moore, National Association of Evangelicals, Jim Wallace, all defenders of leftism. How they justify this is staggering. I cannot make my brain wrap around it. John Piper, for instance, who claimed that a man's character, that of Donald Trump, was equally troubling to him as the party that celebrates the slaughter of the unborn, and about related issues. I want to talk a little bit about the organization called For the Health of a Nation. Why are evangelical outlets like the National Association of Evangelicals signing on to this massive leftist agenda that has perhaps resulted in a catastrophe here back on November 3rd? And yet evangelicals played a major role pushing back against righteousness. So we'll discuss that and more in the hour ahead. I'm joined for the first half of the program by Pastor Barry Stegner. He pastors Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. He's been on this program a number of times. I've joined him in some prophecy conferences at his church in Southern California. Pastor Barry Stegner, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Tell me, Barry Stegner, what do you think is the message to the church here as a result of Campaign 2020?
I think it's revealed polarization, not just nationally and internationally, but even within the church, as we have so many things that manifested themselves because of one candidate's position or the other. One of the things, Jan, I think that is so curious is that we have many within the church today who are simply taking a position that the church ought not to be involved in politics mm-hmm. at all. And I find that to be curious in light of the fact that God has stated in Romans 13 that human government is his institution and ordinance, and he even describes those who oversee governmental positions as his ministers. Why in the world would we, as the body of Christ, think that God would not want his people involved in his ordinance? And whether that be through casting our vote, making our voices heard, or even direct involvement in the whole system and process. I think that's been one of the curious things about this election season and how it's shown its head within the church, is just the two sides, really, that have been taken in this recent election, not just about the candidates in particular, but about the whole process in and of itself.
I think one of the more interesting angles, you and I have actually talked about this off air, and that was the rise of the evangelical left. I don't personally like that term. Others use it. I find it hard to imagine how you can be an evangelical and be a leftist. We had evangelicals for Biden. We had a movement called For the Health of a Nation. Let me just say a word about this outfit, because it's signed on by a staggering number of so-called evangelicals. It's more leftist politics being pushed in the church. It's stressing poverty. It's stressing social justice, racial justice. It's initiated by National Association of Evangelicals. No surprise there. They headed left 25 years ago, also signing on to this religious left movement of For the Health of a Nation, World Relief. Jay Barnes, former president of Bethel University, St. Paul, from which I graduated. Stewart and Jill Briscoe, Shane Claiborne, Claiborne's a socialist slash communist, Nick Hall, all the editors of Christianity Today, Evangelical Environmental Network, president of Wheaton College, president of Northwestern College in St. Paul, Minnesota, Ron Sider, World Vision, Ed Stetzer, Jim Wallace, blatant communist, not a socialist, he's a communist, folks. Why is the NAE, Wheaton College, Northwestern College in St. Paul, Minnesota, and others signing on to the works of blatant communism in the church? Your thoughts on this, Barry Stegner?
Jan, I think it exposes something that's been happening within the church, and it is one of the most significant developments within our generation, and that is the infiltration of the social justice movement into the church. The primary objective within this movement is to meet the needs of the community over even the commission of preaching the gospel to
every preacher.
The real drawback with this particular movement and its rise within the church, particularly the evangelical church, is it makes an assumption that is not consistent with Scripture, that if we solve the problems of the people around us and within our own nation, that there'll be a greater receptivity to the gospel. The problem with that can be summed up in one word, and that is Israel. Jesus,
right,
the King of the Jews, went to the Jews, spoke and ministered to exclusively the Jews in his day. He went into towns and healed all those who were sick and infirm, cast out all the demons from those who were possessed. And the fact is that the very people he came to save rejected him and his message in spite of the things that he did. Looking at this as a means by which to open a door in order to make people more gospel-friendly or receptive isn't consistent with what biblical history tells us, because the greatest preacher who ever lived touched people's lives in ways that changed and transformed their personal experience at that moment in time, and yet many of them were within the crowd yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," when it came time for him to die for our sins. I think it's just a huge misconception, one, that this is going to better our opportunities to proclaim Christ, and two, that it's our primary responsibility. You can't support that scripturally, Jen. Nowhere does the Bible tell us that we are the social services network for the world. Yeah, Jesus said, you're going to have the poor with you always. And yes, Paul told Titus, meet urgent needs. And of course we are to help where we can, as Galatians says, to do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. The information regarding meeting social needs and social justice issues is non-existent in Scripture, yet it's become the primary focus for many today. We have to go out and do these things so we can prove to people that God loves them, when the Great Commission is very simple. Go to the world, preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel.
We've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. Christ is that Savior.
Here's this bunch. This is called Evangelicals for Biden. And again, I go back to my position of a minute or two ago, where this evangelical leftism, to me, that's mutually exclusive. Then just don't call yourself an evangelical. And they're probably going to say, well, they do stand up for life. But again, then they're going to go into their issues with poverty, etc. It's just a 1 minute clip.
Our next guest is the former evangelical pastor, Joel Hunter. He served as President Barack Obama's spiritual advisor for 8 years, but then he voted for Donald Trump back in 2016. Well, this time around, he's backing Vice President Joe Biden. Remember, of course, Christians form Trump's base, but Hunter has formed a group called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. Here he is speaking to our Michelle Martin about what made him change.
Pastor Joel Hunter, thank you so much for speaking with us.
I'm honored. Glad to be on with you.
You voted for Trump in 2016, but you're part of a group called Pro-Life Evangelicals for Biden. Why did you decide to join this group or to help organize this group?
First of all, we want to make sure that the pro-life agenda is expanded beyond birth. We're no less anti-abortion. But we know that the people who die from the pandemic, the people who die from a lack of access to health care, people who die from poverty and the opioid crisis and suicide and racism and the impacts of climate change, on and on and on, are just as important to God as those people who are still in the womb.
Barry Stagner, that little clip sort of backed up what you said a few moments ago. And I want to bring up one other issue here before we move on. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, folks. Jan Markell. I have on the line from Southern California, Pastor Barry Stagner. He pastors Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. Been on this program a number of times, and I've been privileged to minister at his church on a couple of occasions. But the other pre-election issue, and now it's post-election, but still, Barry Stagner, men like John Piper came out right before our election and say, well, I'm not voting. One candidate, the character is too flawed. And yet people like John Piper are then making as parallel a man's character and a party that celebrates the slaughter of the unborn, the gay agenda, unlimited immigration that kills all jobs for minorities, the minorities they champion, and that destroys religious freedom.
Jan, I think that underscores the fact that when you have the cart before the horse again, that it's going to creep into your approach on how we deal with the issues that are in our world. Our primary mission is to preach the gospel to every creature. But when you feel like you have the need to first resolve the temporal problems of society, then that's going to determine your platform and your perspective on the political issues and our involvement in that arena. We're not voting strictly for personalities or even persons. We're voting for platforms. To equate some of these other things to the murder of an innocent child within the womb is just ridiculous. Yes, there are social issues that, of course, we're to be sensitive to. Racism is a blight, and slavery is a horrible scar in our past. But we also have to recognize what the Bible does is it tells us how to operate within a flawed system. When Paul was addressing the issue with Onesimus and runaway slave, he said, hey, this is your brother. He didn't even address the issue to Philemon about whether or not it's right or wrong to have one who has indentured themselves to you or whether they were purchased. And of course, purchasing another human being is always going to be wrong in any age of history. But we have to realize this is how the Bible deals with these issues. We live in a flawed world, but we're here primarily again to preach the gospel and open those doors for us as Christians to have an opportunity to influence society and culture and politics by our involvement and our vote.
And as for the attack on the church, folks, we haven't seen anything yet. Mr. Biden plans on implementing the Equality Act against the church. Pastors, you're going to be in the center of the storm. Here's Curtis Bowers, producer of the Agenda DVD series. He's giving a very, very proper warning to you.
He said his top priority was to pass the Equality Act, which forces churches to bend the knee to every immorality imaginable. They have to hire homosexuals. They have to hire transgender. They have to have an equal proportion of them in their leadership positions. That's what the John Piper and other evangelical leaders, they don't have a clue. That's what they fought for by being so ignorant to try to undermine and stop people from voting for Trump, a man they thought was prideful. Well, instead, they're going to get the Gestapo at the door of their churches saying, you must have homosexual deacons and transgender elders. You must, or we will close you down. That's the result of the foolish ideas of the current evangelical church that's led by such pathetic world pleasers.
You and I even wonder if America has gone too far, at least in that particular realm, the cultural issues, the LGBT issues, etc. Perhaps the country finally, God has said, enough. I've had enough. You've had your chance. We don't know that. He's a God of endless chances. Perhaps he's not finished with us. Hard to say.
His spirit is not always going to strive with man. There is a point of no return, so to speak. Looking at the book of Nahum, I think it's interesting that here you've got some of the most wicked people that have ever existed. When Jonah went and preached, I always think it's interesting the message that God sent Jonah with. And so many people today shy away from that judgment aspect of the gospel. We need Jesus because we are perishing and headed for a devil's hell without him. The judgment of God and his righteous indignation are all real aspects of his character, but the message God sent Jonah with was quite simple. It was 40 days, and yet Nineveh will be overthrown. That was the whole of his message. Jonah tells us that from the king all the way down to the least of the servants, the people repented, and this revival lasted for over 100 years. And then later, Nahum writes to the same city that the people had turned from what God had done for them. They had experienced his grace and mercy, and they saw a transition, and the king said, let every person turn from the violence of their own hands after Jonah preached, and the people did, and they repented. But then down the line, those who had been blessed by God, touched by God, God relented of the disaster that he was going to bring, found themselves in a place where Nahum wrote in chapter 3, verse 19, that your injury cannot be healed. In other words, they had reached the point of no return, and that point was identified by their return to the violent behavior and the despicable things they did as they sought to move out and rule the world. Yes, there is that biblical precedent of a country and people reaching a place where they no longer care about returning to God or what God has done for them in the past. And like Romans says, they're given over to their wrong thinking and delusional mindset.
Talking to Pastor Barry Stagner, Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. Since we're now well into the final weeks here of 2020, what, in your opinion, is the most prophetically significant event of this year?
I don't know that I could bring it down to one, but I do believe I can bring it down to two. Those would be the diplomatic agreements that have been made between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and other Gulf Arab states, because this begins the movement towards the fulfillment of the protesting nations of Ezekiel's war.
True.
In 38 and 39. So that's a major prophetic development, that those who are going to say, what's the point of this invasion when Russia and Turkey and Iran and Sudan and Libya invade Israel to take plunder? Now these areas, very clearly identified in Scripture as Sheba and Dedan, are now in alliance, at least diplomatically, even if it is for the shared animosity they have with Israel towards Iran. They still made these agreements to restore or at least initiate diplomatic relationships. And the other element that I see being equally significant, and that is the pandemic. It has brought us into a place of being a global community in the sense that we're fighting a common cause and we all need to react in the same manner. The world leaders are all telling their populace what it is they need to do to combat
right.
this common enemy. This has really united the world in a way that has never been united before. Now it's government said wear a mask, everybody puts on a mask. Government said don't meet, no one meets. The government's done exactly what socialism means to do and Marxism means to do, and that is put the government in the place of God and give directives to society. This, I think, has probably done more to prepare the world rapidly for what's going to take place during the tribulation. That is, all of the earth dwellers are going to bow before a man who is empowered by Satan and follow after him in worship, is what Revelation 13 says.
It's really setting the stage for the New World Order, which I've covered on this program too many times probably, but I think it's so important. I just don't think we've ever seen in your lifetime, in my lifetime, Barry Stagner, the setting of the stage quite like we have in the last year, certainly the last 10 years, but more specifically the last year.
Jan, I think it's important to recognize that while we're having all these statistics reported, near a 250,000 lives lost, there's no question that this has been exploited as an opportunity, and it's been even stated publicly by the World Economic Forum that this is something we can't let pass by. We have to make sure that we take advantage of this moment. If we really examine this, I think we've all known people who have lost their lives due to COVID-19. So we don't want to minimize the fact that this is real and people are getting sick and people have died. We also cannot look the other way and say this hasn't been exploited. Nobody dies of the flu anymore. I follow and track these things and have for years. And you cannot find statistics on flu deaths in the 2019-20 flu season. Everything is COVID-19. They're cooking a book, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We've got conflicting information that comes out of the CDC. Even in the midst of the realities of COVID-19, we can't deny the fact that it's being used as a vehicle to advance the globalist agenda.
Barry Stagner, your state, California, has, well, it's always been a little bit different than some of the rest of the states here. Our election is now over. I believe you overwhelmingly voted Democrat, am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
And your Christians out there, where are they at? The church is so under siege in California.
And we are. This has shown the polarization within the church, because
mm-hmm.
you've got those who are standing up and saying, you know what, this is not just anti-biblical, it's unconstitutional. I think we need to pair those things together as American Christians, even as Paul took advantage of his own Roman citizenship to defend himself. So we too, as American Christians, need to stand first on the Word and second on the Constitution. There is no provision within the Constitution that allows for governors or anybody else to violate the First Amendment right of our free assembly and for the government to somehow infiltrate and dictate how church can be held or when it can be held. We've been meeting in person for some time. We had some funky stuff happen as far as our location, but as soon as the door of opportunity opened to be back in our own place, then we started meeting immediately.
Barry, I want to thank you for joining me here on Understanding the Times Radio. Best place to contact you, Barry, would be?
You can go to cctustin.org. You can find me on any of the social media platforms.
Right. He's very, very active on social media. Barry Stagner, thank you for joining me for this segment. I want to go out of it playing a portion of a post-election prayer that Pastor Jack Hibbs gave at his church recently. This was right after our election. And when I come back, I'll be joined by White House correspondent Bill Koenig as we continue to look at the voter fraud issue and the post-election chaos. We'll do that in just a moment. Let me just play this short clip by Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus, forgive us as a people. We have slept when we should have been awake. We've played when we should have been praying. We have faltered between two opinions, and we have sown to the wind. and we're asking for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray tonight for the salvation of Joe Biden, God, that you'd touch his soul. All he knows is his version of Catholicism. He doesn't know you personally. Father, we pray for Kamala Harris. She's had such a crazy exposure to spiritual things, but none the truth. And so they have their agendas and they have their thoughts and their ways. Without you, Lord, we'd be just like them. Save them. Father, tonight, President Trump is entertaining in his mind. I'm sure it's almost impossible for him to entertain this in his mind, but rumor has it he's never lost anything before. And God, I just pray that tonight he would lose himself and find you tonight. Father, that you'd visit him in his dreams. God, that you would take this very strong and able man who doesn't lean on anybody to go to his knees. Lord, may he collapse in your arms. Father, we pray for Melania. We know that she does love you. She loves your Bible. She loves your people. She's one of us. I can't imagine, Lord, the burden she's carrying right now. Strengthen her. I'm sure Barron is asking, what's going on? What's happening? Save and bless Barron. Father, I thank, Lord God, you know me, I'm wrestling with you out back. It's like you did it with Jacob, and now you're having to do it with me. I just, Lord, Mike Pompeo is one of the most precious people in the world I know. And I just can't imagine him not being the Secretary of State. Lord, on his desk, his Bible's wide open. He's a man of prayer. He loves your word. He can preach your word. I'm so proud of him. Such a good man, him and Susan, such good people. Lord, have you brought Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State only for that to end now? Have you brought, Lord, Amy Coney Barrett onto the court and that's it? We're done? God, we in this room, we're still pro-life here. We know that you're pro-life. Please, God, have mercy. And Lord, we pray tonight for such an amazing, faithful man, a good man, a wonderful Sunday school teacher, Vice President Mike Pence. Lord, I believe you brought him to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I know, Lord, you're sovereign and you can remove people at any given second. You do every day. But Father, as we cried out to you last night here in this place, we asked you to remember the covenant of our pilgrim fathers and that you would renew that covenant. And so, Father, I ask with my brothers and my sisters tonight that the light of truth would shine unto every state right now. That you'd expose all wrong, all that's evil, all that's wrong. Lord, this is not a Republican or a Democrat prayer. If there's Republican or Democrat shenanigans, expose it. You're not a Republican. You're not a Democrat. You're God. Shine your light of holiness, righteousness, justice. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, Lord God, that you'd give us a president and an administration that is pro-Israel, pro-life, pro-religious freedom, pro-police, pro-military, pro-jobs, pro-Hispanic, pro-black, pro-every other color imaginable, because you're good.
Folks, I'm coming back in just a moment or two. Don't go away.
We love friendly feedback. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. In an age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio. More in a moment. Now that the leftist agenda in America is so clear, learn more about it from a man who has made an award-winning exposé of the communist plan to take down America. We have carried the two DVD set produced by Curtis Bowers, Agenda 2, Masters of Deceit, for years. Curtis is one of our most popular radio guests. He outlines the plan to infiltrate and take over America with an intricate Marxist plan targeting your kids, our schools, our seminaries, and more. But at the same time, we encourage you to read The Answer to This Dilemma, a new book by Dr. Robert Jeffress, Praying for America, 40 Inspiring Stories and Prayers for Our Nation. Find both products in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. You can also sign up for our print magazine and find them offered in our year-end issue. Equip yourself to understand the times by tapping into our products, our website, our live online updates, and our weekly radio program. See how all the Bible predicted is coming to pass.
Many people were praying for this outcome, and I think it was somewhat a shock, especially after that first couple hours after a lot of the polls were closed. It looked like another landslide, a decisive win for President Trump. And then all of a sudden, things began to turn.
Jan is now joined by Bill Koenig, who served for years in the White House press corps. Koenig has outstanding Washington insights. Jan Markell and Bill Koenig have worked together since 2002, and Bill has been a frequent conference speaker. Here's part two of today's programming targeting our 2020 election and the results.
Communism is the dominant philosophy in our world. And when you put a pro-communist president in the White House, the only country left to stand against this, you're going to get a communist world quicker than you can believe. And so I tell you all that for a couple reasons. To think that these Marxist ideologues are bound by election integrity is nutty, okay? They could care less. They actually enjoy corrupting and perverting and destroying things. So it's more joy to them if they can corrupt election and win fraudulently than if they could win it legitimately. That's not as much joy if you did it legitimately. They love that.
Welcome to part two of the program. The wise words of Curtis Bowers, of course, the producer of the very impactful Agenda DVD series about how the communist agenda implemented in America 100 years ago is coming full force at us at this time. Going to spend the rest of the program with a familiar voice of Bill Koenig. He's served in the White House press corps almost 20 years. We're going to talk about some of this voter fraud. Bill Koenig, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Always great to be with you.
Reading your newsletters, which I do on a weekly basis, and your recent newsletter, this is now a week old, you say this is going to be a battle. And of course, you mean the aftermath of the election. In your newsletter, you had some outstanding analysis of the various voting systems, the voter fraud. What do you mean that it's going to be a battle?
There's a couple grounds. Number one is the manipulation of the paper ballots and the tabulating of the results. Also, the electronic potential manipulation through manipulating algorithms to come up with certain results. So those are going to be the two areas that the White House is aware of, conservatives are aware of. That's going to be the battlefield to show that there was some voter fraud in at least five states, maybe more.
You apprised me of some voting systems that obviously, I don't think the word deficient is acceptable. They'd have to be just plain corrupt. A Dominion voting system, I want you to talk about it. We've got the Hammer, all sorts of them that are out there, and they do rely on algorithms. We've got listeners, probably starting with me, not all that familiar with what an algorithm is. In simple terms, folks, algorithm strategies involve making decisions on the basis of preset rules that are programmed into a computer. And a programmer writes code that executes actions when certain conditions are met or breaks the existing algorithms, which may have happened with the Dominion voting system programs used in six states. There were some strange vote dumps, as we all know, in early hours that mostly went to Vice President, now President-elect, apparently. Joe Biden, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan. So a forensic algorithm study is being done to prove or disprove how this happened. And then, Bill, and we need to talk about Sidney Powell, who happens to be General Flynn's attorney. She's been saying that it's these algorithms on the technology involved that is what has thrown everything off base. Now I'll be quiet and you please add to this.
Well, exactly. Let's say the program was put in place, an algorithm, that if Joe Biden dropped 2% behind Trump, that the computer system could kick in and all of a sudden come up with some votes that would put Biden back in front. Are based on algorithm history or voting record history. They determine certain patterns happen in certain states. They could pre-program the algorithms to do certain things based on historical results. But the most important thing for them would be in the event that Biden hit a certain level, the system would reestablish the votes and add some additional votes. And that's what our biggest concern was, these late night voter dumps that will be studied in great detail through the forensic study.
And you indicated to me that even Bernie Sanders could have been a victim of this voting monkey business, the Dominion, the Hammer, etc.
Sidney Powell made a good point of that. That's where I came up with it, Jan, that this is being used at the highest level of the Democratic Party. And there's a possibility that Bernie Sanders was getting more votes than Joe Biden, but the system overrode Sanders' votes and gave Biden the nomination.
Let me just play a quick clip of Sidney Powell. Actually, I accessed the link on your newsletter. And folks, you can sign up for his electronic newsletter. It is subscription at his website, watch.org, watch.org. Let's play this clip. It's very insightful.
The point is, and the reason this is all happening, is because there are trillions of dollars at stake. The globalists, the communists, the Marxists, the Chinese Communist Party want to control the world and the power and the dollars that go with it. And they have to destroy the independence of we the people and the freedom and leadership of the United States to do that. That's their last big target. We are the end of the line for liberty and freedom and any semblance of justice. They will spend any amount of money. They are willing to do absolutely anything to try to continue the graft and corruption that all of the evidence that's now coming out against Joe Biden exemplifies. It wasn't just Joe Biden. It's probably 80% of our public officials, at least in the federal government and many in the states, too.
Bill Koenig, I don't want to quite leave the voting contention here, but she raised a fascinating point in that little clip. By the way, Bill, you apprised me that her son is also very involved in the fraudulent aspect of the voting. But I just want to access one of her points here. This is partly the globalist agenda. This is motivated by the globalists. They want their one world. They're going to get it by hook or by crook.
Whatever it takes. Just think, from the time that President Trump was elected, he was in battle after battle up until the time he was inaugurated. Then with the Russian hoax, the Ukraine hoax, and then the COVID-19 thing was a tool that they used to vote by mail, constant blaming him for the size of the COVID crisis in America and also the 200,000 that had died, blamed him. They used it very effectively to get the vote out and then to get a massive amount. I'd say 2/3 to 3/4 of the mail-in ballots were for Biden, which also opened a door to fraud, especially a great concern about what's taking place in Pennsylvania right now. Trump was 700,000 votes ahead on election night, and all of a sudden millions of votes showed up by mail. The Supreme Court, unfortunately, did not stop the mail that was received on election day. They gave him 3 extra days to come up with more ballots. You are absolutely right, Jan. They have done everything they can to take this president down. That's where the focus needs to be, on the voter fraud, whether it's the algorithm or the vote by mail manipulation, to get to the bottom of this and hopefully stop what is taking place.
Talk to us for just a minute about Sidney Powell's son, because the info you shared there is fascinating as well. He's an algorithm specialist.
Absolutely. I'll take just a little brief note off his Twitter. This is from Wilson Powell. He said, "I immediately recognized a broken algorithm in the live data that was fraudulent because I worked at an algorithm trading hedge fund for almost 3 years as a head trader, and my job was to find broken algorithms that can create algorithms that could not break. This election was pre-designed, rigged scam, and a garbage mathematician had an algorithm that broke. This is fraud. Trump won in such a landslide that the algorithm broke and the scam is obvious. Wilson Powell is a member of the Dallas County Young Republicans, very well thought of guy through my friends in Dallas. He has written some other documentation on how this could happen. And as far as I understand, that information has worked its way to the White House. And I think that's what we have been talking about, Jan, even before your program, that we want the legal votes counted. And if there was fraud, let's identify it. If President Trump lost legally, then let's stand with that. But sir appears, based on what I've been reading about and studying since Election Day, that there was fraud electronically with the ballots and also the manipulation of the algorithms that affected the vote totals.
Daily Wire is reporting that almost 40 Republican House members have sent a letter to Justice William Barr to investigate voter fraud. It says the letter asserted with widespread reports of irregularities, particularly in the vote counting process. It's time for you to use the resources of the department to ensure that the process is conducted in a manner that is fully consistent with state and federal law. This is 39 House GOP members to Attorney General William Barr to please look into this, because we can't let this stand as is.
Well, we certainly have to take an aggressive posture, because what happened, Jan, as you saw, the media could not move quick enough to declare Biden president-elect when you still had four states that we do not have a certified vote total yet. There's discrepancy about what we've discussed today, but they couldn't race through quick enough, declare him to be president, which led into the Saturday coronation in Wilmington, Delaware, introducing him as the president-elect, the vice president-elect Harris. They ran with this all weekend. So what's forcing the conservatives, if we're going to have to be aggressive in response to this, to stop this, if at all possible, but we have to have the facts, forensics, legalities, and that's what's happening right now. And very significant efforts being put into place on this. And I like the word that President Trump and his attorneys used. We're going to begin the prosecution, then that's what's happening.
And he's got an outstanding legal team, among them Jay Sekulow, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani. He's got some of the best battling with him.
He does. Those are the attorneys in the front row. Jay Sekulow is tremendous. Giuliani's a bulldog and fearless. Pam Bondi's excellent. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very formidable group. The other thing, too, Jan, we've talked about a lot is just the prayer. Christians have felt so involved with this process. And also, at the same time, why, Lord? Why is this happening? We're praying for the legal, correct outcome. We don't want to see any election stolen, regardless of the outcome. Christians have a lot riding on this, Jan. We got tens of millions of people that prayed. Your good friend Michelle Bachman and others led prayer efforts across the country. Right. Jack Hibbs, Tony Perkins with Family Research Council. Many people were praying for this outcome, and I think it was somewhat a shock, especially after that first couple hours after a lot of the polls were closed. It looked like another landslide, a decisive win for President Trump. And then all of a sudden, things begin to turn with Fox News coming out and saying Arizona has been won by Trump. And all of a sudden, that momentum changed.
Just a comment here on Fox. I think their true colors are coming out. They have been for the last couple of years. They still have great folks. Appreciate Tucker. I appreciate Sean Hannity, Laura, Mark Levin, and of course Judge Jeanine, who was marginalized the weekend after the election. Fox refused to air her program, which was an effort to expose voter fraud. But there's an interesting article I picked up. Catherine Murdoch, who is the wife of James Murdoch. James Murdoch is the inheritor of the Fox dynasty from Rupert Murdoch. Catherine Murdoch is an ardent liberal. She even urged Fox News to, quote, put country above their profits and start pushing anti-Trump stories. She called President Trump a dictator, etc. This is your Fox News, folks. It is becoming a joke. And it would be wonderful if Tucker, Sean, Laura, Mark Levin, and others would just say so long and go form a network of their own or sign on to another network that is truth-telling. Bill, you're in the media. You've been in the media forever and ever. That's how I got acquainted with you. Your thoughts on this?
Oh, you're absolutely right. More and more Christians are just tuning off Fox. Tucker Carlson is doing a fantastic job. He needs our prayers because he's constantly under attack. Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham are doing a good job. Mark Levin, what a blessing he is. He's such a fireball. You know, he stands on truth. Catherine was part of the Clinton Global Initiative before she got married to a Murdoch. He was very Democrat. Those things she said, they have some influence, and that's not good for the future of Fox. Chris Wallace and a few others, they're not favorable towards Trump. Fox took a tremendous amount of heat for an early declaration of Biden winning Arizona. winning Arizona with still hundreds of thousands of votes that needed to be counted. And that infuriated the Trump administration, and it could have affected other late-night votes from other states. You know, it's unfortunately true. It's getting harder and harder to find good conservative voices. We look at 15 to 20 different news sources every day at our location at watch.org. Mm-hmm. WorldNet Daily is still doing a good job, Newsmax, National Review, and the news that you put out, Jan.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Washington, Bill Koenig. You read Bill, you hear him various places, you hear him at prophecy conferences. He's been at least six of my events since 2002. I believe that's the first year I brought him to the Twin Cities. Bill, that seems like an eternity ago now. 2002, things were so different back then. I'm transitioning just a little bit here because I don't want time to get away before we do talk about the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum. This generally meets every January. I believe it's been bumped now back to June 2021. The intent of the World Economic Forum is to change the way the world operates, to do away with capitalism, to nationalize all sorts of things. Folks, your checking account could be nationalized if the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset does what they want to do, and they have an open door if we're going to get a President Biden and Vice President Harris. Absolute evil has an open door, starting with the World Economic Forum. President Trump has stood in the way of globalism. He stood in the way of the socialist, communist, globalist agenda. Yet it's on deck for June 2021, where world leaders meet. They scheme and plot, and not for good. Bill, speak into this, if you don't mind.
The vehicle that they'll use, Jan, is COVID.
Yes.
Unfortunately, right now, we're seeing lockdowns again in France, the UK, Germany has a big problem as well, Spain, possibility Canada. There was some good news this week that Pfizer might have come out with something that helps stop it before it even happens.
Bill, I don't know anybody who's going to take a vaccine.
That's exactly right.
I know no one in my sphere who will take a vaccine.
That's exactly right. I don't watch 60 Minutes very often, but they were talking about the implementation of the plan to get people care across the country. And one of the gentlemen being interviewed with the government says the problem is a lot of people won't take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I agree. I'm not ready to take a vaccine either. So here's the catch-22. We've got states and countries are going into a lockdown. And I've even heard there's a COVID-21 coming, whether that happens or not, God forbid, something that would have even more virulent than COVID-19. When you look at the timing of COVID, how it came about with Bill Gates and Fauci, Johns Hopkins University, big event that they had in October 2019 that spoke of what would the world do in a pandemic, and then less than 120 days later, we have a pandemic, along with the World Economic Forum in their January 2020 meeting, they were talking about a future reset. What would create a reset? Well, a global pandemic that puts half the world behind their doors of their homes, locked down. How are people going to make a living? And you had good programs on World Economic Forum and the preset when it comes to currencies and things like that. And the central bank manipulations, confiscating money and spreading it out, giving everybody a weekly or bimonthly paycheck. You can see the areas of potential manipulation, and the vehicle that they could use would be COVID. I think that's another reason we want to see President Trump and Pence for another 4 years, because with Biden and his globalists and the people that would have influence on him, that would fall right in line with this reset is very scary, ominous,
very scary,
possibly prophetic.
In talking to you privately, I know that you are optimistic that some of this recounting, some of this taking this to the court system to battle for the integrity of elections, and specifically this current election, you remain optimistic that we can turn this around. I'd like you to talk about that, because honestly, I'm getting emails on a daily basis from people who are so disheartened because they know the grave implications of a socialist administration. I mean, we become Venezuela in a few years. It's as blunt and tragic as that.
Jan, the main reason that I remain optimistic is the incredible outpouring of prayer by tens of millions of evangelical Christians in the United States that voted for a re-election of Trump and Pence, and the many Christians that are associated with this administration. I think that's number one reason of such heartfelt prayer to God for his involvement in this process, to give us four more years. Mm. That's where a lot of my faith lies. And number two is, at some point, I am hopeful and prayerful that this corruption of the election system will be fully exposed for what it is, and that that can be corrected to the point that these elections are fair and not dishonest like this. That's my optimism, but like your good friend Jack Hibbs said, yourself, Michelle, and many others, we are praying for a good outcome, but at the same time praying for God's perfect will in this, at this particular time that we're living in.
I have in front of me something, again, from your newsletter. You write, the perfect storm of Democrat and Republican actions that didn't help the president. I can't read them all. Let me read three or four. Number one, COVID-19 led to massive mail-in ballots and opportunities for fraud. Number two, poll manipulation was printed daily, weekly in newspapers and online throughout the country. In attempted Trump voter suppression when it was stated in certain states that Biden was far ahead of the president. Three, the major social networks and big tech banned Trump tweets, comments, and or removed or froze conservative political statements. Another bullet point you write about, the FBI didn't say anything publicly about the Hunter Biden emails, the information discovered on the hard drive, or any report. The FBI were to have the laptop and hard drive since December of 2019. Another bullet point, John Roberts, siding with the liberals on the Supreme Court, allowed Pennsylvania 3 additional days to receive ballots, which has led to more problems. U.S. Attorney General Don Durham didn't finish his Russian hoax investigation that could have and may still implicate Barack Obama, Joe Biden, James Comey, James Clapper, John Brennan, Susan Rice, and others. This was a long list, Bill, in your newsletter, and folks, sign up at his website. It is by subscription. It's well worth it. Headlined, titled here, The Perfect Storm of Democrat and Republican Actions That Didn't Help President Trump. I am getting a little bit short on time, Bill, but I want you to take at least a couple minutes here to address this perfect storm.
That's what was so perplexing. I know that President Trump has his own style, Jan. He has his own way of doing business, sometimes disruptive, but when you're taking on this world system like he is, they fight for victory. They do things that are not fair. They use their social networks. They use 90% of their media for their tools. They use the polls for manipulation. So we know what the other side does, but then when we don't get the cooperation from the conservatives, whether it's at the Supreme Court, whether it's at the Justice Department, or whether it's in Congress, when President Trump needed help, when some of this corruption and things that have happened beforehand that have taken place, this should have been part of the debate on the future of our country, but it wasn't brought up. So in a lot of ways, President Trump, who did so much for the Republican Party,
yes.
Look at the House seats that have turned. Look at the fact that the Senate seats are staying in the hands of the Republicans. Look at the effort that he put in at the end. I mean, it's incredible.
Yes.
And I've spoken in many audiences over the years. The audiences appreciated George W. Bush, but they really love President Trump and Mike Pence. It's incredible, the difference in audience and the outpouring and the appreciation for President Trump. Then again, he has his own style.
Sure.
That's what's necessary to take on this enemy, as Sidney Powell says, that wants to take over and will do whatever they can at all costs to do that.
Bill, I think the biggest foreign policy issue that I am concerned about, there are actually a dozen or more, the biggest one would be the reintroduction of the Iran nuclear deal, which has to be the most insane foreign policy deal of the last 100 years, maybe longer, virtually enabling Armageddon. We haven't even talked about the prophetic implications of all of this. The hour is so late. All sorts of things have to happen for the final day scenario to play out. But spending just about a minute, we got about a minute or two remaining here, on this Iran nuclear deal, Prime Minister Netanyahu has promised to go to war if we're going to have to re-engage Iran on this ridiculous treaty. Give me a minute of your thoughts, please.
One good thing, Jan, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State Pompeo, was in Israel this week, working on even tightening the sanctions even more. He's determined to tighten them even more in the event that Biden is successful and becomes president. That was a terrible deal in the first place, the Iran nuclear deal. They wanted, obviously, a Biden presidency. This will empower them if Biden gets rid of these sanctions. Erdogan from Turkey is very problematic. Some of the things he's doing right now, whether it's against the EU, against NATO, are grabbing oil assets that are not his in the Mediterranean, being a disruptive force with the Palestinians. Biden will never be able to stand up against Erdogan, also Putin or Iran and China.
Well, he won't be a friend of Israel either.
He won't be a friend of Israel.
In spite of what the Israeli newspapers are trying to say, that he's a great friend of Israel. That is baloney, and I don't mean kosher baloney.
That's exactly right, and a weak leader.
Yeah.
It would not stand up against Iran, which is obviously Israel's greatest threat.
Folks, you can learn more if you follow Bill Koenig, at his website, which is watch.org. You can sign up again for his e-newsletter, Koenig's Eye View from the White House. He's served in the White House press corps now for about 20 years. Let me just go out of today's programming, and I know this hour has been a little bit troubling. So let me just say that I sometimes wonder if God is shaking us up, trying to wake us up so that we will look up. As we say every week on Understanding the Times Radio, nothing catches him by surprise. He has a plan, and all that is happening allows things to fall into place. He hates evildoers, and he says so in Psalm 2, where he says that he sits in the heavens and laughs. He laughs at these people who devise evil schemes. Says in that passage, he will terrify them with his fury. And I have a feeling that's certainly going to happen in the tribulation. It may happen before. So we have interesting days ahead. God has things totally under control. And in the end, evil is defeated. I do want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Blessing your
name. You encourage us when you write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Jan Markell and Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Remember, nothing happens without God's permission, as He causes everything to fall into place.